Welcome to the UFO Files Show with your host, Jerry Pippin.
Here in Laughlin at the Ancient Mysteries Conference at Harrah's Del Rio at the end of the strip here in Laughlin, and we have Stephen Bassett with us, and Stephen, of course, with X-Pac and a few other ventures as well. In fact, speaking of new ventures, Stephen, welcome to the show. I want you to tell us right off the bat about this new thing you're planning for April.
Thanks, Jerry. It's good to be back on the show again. Paradigm Research Group, which is the main entity that I set up back in 1996, supporting researchers and activists in the field of extraterrestrial phenomena studies and activism, is got a new project. It's a conference, and it's going to be held April of 2004, the weekend of April 16 through 18. The conference is the first annual Exopolitics Expo, or the X Conference. And the main website for that is xconference.com, and that's with a hyphen, xconference.com. And the simplest way to describe why this is important is this. It will be, or will bring together, the most powerful group of speakers ever assembled in a single conference that will speak to the governmental, political, and media connections to the extraterrestrial phenomena going back to 1947. This conference is not about lights in the sky. It's about lies on the ground. And all of the speakers are selected on that basis to speak to the subject in that manner. And this conference has been scheduled to be right in the middle of the presidential primary season. And all of the candidates will be invited to come, and all the members of Congress will be invited to come. So we're going to have more than just a conference. We're going to have an event.
Stephen, you're the MC of this event here, and you made a pretty good claim this morning. You say there is going to be something developing on the Disclosure Project during this time, you think, huh?
Well, as you know, I started talking about disclosure under Bush right off the bat, even before he was elected. The reasons were quite simple. President Clinton was absolutely unacceptable to the military services or the intelligence community as a disclosure president. And in fact, when Lawrence Rockefeller started approaching him about possibly being that president, and getting the information out, it caused, I think, quite alarm amongst the inside management groups within the military intelligence complex, and may have contributed to the attacks on Clinton. He just, as much as they loved George Bush, or George W. Bush, they hated William Clinton. So, but when George Bush's son wins the election, now they have back a president whose background in politics are much more amenable to them. And then given the pressure on the cover-up being placed on it by the retirees in the military and intelligence that are starting to speak, and simply, basically whistleblowers, or maybe you could just call them truth-sayers, whatever you want, truth-sellers. The point is that with them coming forward with all the other activists doing their thing, with the media slowly catching on, the jig was up. I mean, everybody knows it's going to end pretty soon. The question is timing. In fact, the government's whole problem with respect to disclosure is not about phenomena per se. It's not about science. It's about public relations. How do you tell the people you've had some pretty important information you kept from them for 56 years and all the implications of that and not look any worse than you can avoid? So so Bush comes into the presidency, and his number one problem in terms of moving forward on disclosure was the fact that the nature of the election was so bad, that it was such a contested and controversial election, and his approval ratings were very low. That all changed when the 9/11 took place. He went from very low approval ratings to very high approval ratings, which is very significant and very important to a disclosure process. Unfortunately, the means that got him there set in motion a huge cacophony of events and activities and world terrorism and wars on terrorism and and clearly shoved everything off the stage. And so we had this sort of irony there. But that said, the extraterrestrials haven't gone away, and disclosure is still the problem facing the government. And now they have to decide, are they going to do it under George Bush's first term? Because he certainly has become vulnerable. Everyone admits this. All the pundits in Washington agree to this, that he's clearly vulnerable now for 2004. He could lose this election. Now, if that happens, the military intelligence complex now has a Democratic president. They'd probably prefer Wesley Clark, even though he has his problems with them, but he's a four-star general. But they may get Howard Dean, right? Now they got a problem. The cover-up's only getting harder to maintain. The pressure's going to grow and grow and grow, and now they're going to have to disclose under a Democratic president. So they have a simple choice. Do it under Bush now, or take a chance on winning the election in 2004. So my thinking really hasn't changed. Ultimately, the power of this moment trumps even the world war on terrorism. It trumps the other issues in the Middle East. It's more important than all of them, and may even mitigate those problems if we fully engage the world in what will amount to a totally new reality. We're not alone. We're being engaged. All that that means, all that we're going to learn. Most people are going to take their mind off of their hatreds and grudges for a while, maybe a long while, and look up to the sky. And I'm not sure that that's not a bad thing.
You know, you got this thing scheduled right there, April. April. What are the days?
16 through 18.
And that's you've had about, well, you've had the Southern primaries by that time, and you've of course had New Hampshire and Iowa and all of the other things. And you talk about, and there's no doubt about it, that the military-industrial complex would prefer to work under a Bush. But hey, do you see any election ramifications of saying, hey, the aliens are here? I mean, is that going to help or hurt?
Well, I'm sure if I were running the Democratic National Committee, if I were in the Republican National Committee, I would be really concerned about having a disclosure event in the election year itself. Okay? A lot of problems developed there. Certainly every political operative in the country is going to have their strategy thrown in a cocked hat. So that would say, look, do it in 2003. Well, we still got a good 4 months left. But nevertheless, there has been, and I'm glad you brought it up, another development which is going to affect this situation, which I'm more than happy to talk about as well, and I'll tie them together very quickly. About 8 days ago, a national press release went out from Paradigm Research Group announcing that I've had the good fortune of signing with one of the top prestigious literary agencies in New York, Stanford Greenberger Associates. And I am working with a well-known agent, Matt Bialer, who had previously been with agencies as powerful and important as William Morris and Trident Media Group. And I'm signed on to do a series of books on the disclosure process. The first one, which is done in co-authorship with Grant Cameron, a Canadian researcher, went to the publishers formally 3 days ago. And this book, with a working title, U.S. Presidents and the Politics of Disclosure, is going to be a vehicle in which the public on the large scale is going to find out in detail for the first time what happened during the Carter and Clinton administrations regarding extraterrestrial interests. Not only Carter and the studies that he greenlighted, but also, of course, the entire Rockefeller Initiative in the Clinton administration. There are dozens of well-known public figures that intersect with the issues within those administrations, and they are all going to be approached to go on the record. And so in the middle of this campaign season, people that are actually involved in the campaigns are going to be faced with an interesting decision. A book is coming out. It's been signed. It is sold. It is with a top New York firm, and there's stuff in there about extraterrestrial phenomena, and I'm in it, and I'm being asked to talk about it. And so in addition to the X conference, where all of the presidential candidates will be invited to attend, all the members of Congress and their staff are invited to attend. I'll have to pay. They make more money than I do, so they will. And the political media be invited. The book is going to be being promoted along with the conference being promoted for the next 7 months. The interview process is going to be underway. And so what we're literally trying to create is a firestorm of controversy within Washington that fundamentally sends this message. The days of pretending that there's no extraterrestrials here, so you don't have to talk about it, and then go get elected and go to Washington, collect your money and collect your pensions, and not have to deal with that issue are over. Deal with it or don't deal with it at your peril. That's what we're trying to create in April of months leading up to April of 2004. The way that and what makes that a guaranteed success is that we need the people out there that care about this issue to come. We need this conference to be a huge success, not only because it will put power behind the subject, but it will guarantee the conference is then an annual event, and it will be there every spring, every April, there forward. And so the attendance and people are signing up early for this conference is absolutely critical to the whole thing.
We are talking with Stephen Bassett. We're going to get into the details of that conference here in a moment and talk about a little bit about people listening to us that want to come, how it's, where it's going to be and what's going to be held. But we've got to get into more of these political ramifications with Stephen first. This is Jerry Pippin, and this is the UFO Files. Stephen, when you talk about you had experience somewhat before in Washington trying to get the mainstream media for the first time ever really looking at this issue of extraterrestrials and spaceships, et cetera, not too far back, and I think it was a mixed bag. Maybe you learned some things.
Well, I entered the field in 96 when I registered as a lobbyist on behalf of the issue and certain organizations, and that was intentional in order to attract attention because all these lobbying registrations are carefully checked. Then we set up the Political Action Committee, XPAC, in 1990, I think it was 99, to send a message out there that this is a real issue and we have raised money and we'll raise more money within that Political Action Committee. So all of this has been to raise the awareness of not only members of Congress, but also the political media. Certainly it's been a mixed bag, though a lot of it we sort of have to place on the doorstep of the Clinton administration, because a great deal of the possibilities of 1996, 7, 8, and 9 were subsumed in the political scandals. And whether those scandals were justified or not, the point is that they sucked all the air out of the political media's basket of time, right, that they can use to they're going to devote to various issues. And it obviously it sucked up all the political capital that one might dare expend in order to address an issue of this magnitude of controversy. So, but we did pretty well overall, given the Clinton administration's problems. And of course, all the Clinton people are still around, and very few are not with us anymore, and so it hasn't gone away. We're going to revisit it all, but now we have a new president. Now, are we pushing hard to get to that president? No. If they're going to disclose, they're going to disclose, and I can chain myself to the White House fence. It's going to matter. They know what's going on. But there are a lot of things happening in this administration which are quite interesting. We can talk about that a little later. But the political media have been primed, thoroughly primed, for 6.5 years. Nobody in the major media in Washington, D.C. doesn't know about this because they've been faxed and emailed and approached in person too many times. So that's all seed. You know, we primed the pump, we've seeded the field. So again, it's not going to take much to turn things around. So the stage is set. And that's what that whole 6-7 years was about, really setting the table. It would have been great if it had led to immediate events and actions, but boy, life's not that way, and this is an awfully big issue.
Basically, what I was getting at is when I said mixed bag, I was talking about the media coverage and acceptance, and you did get some mainstream stories out of that, no doubt about it. And so you really feel the climate is going in a positive way.
Without question. There were stories about this issue in very high up the media level. There is a sort of a glass ceiling that sits right underneath the three major networks' nightly news program and the Nightline program. And then, of course, there's all the secondary political talk shows. There's sort of a ceiling right underneath there. And while the Washington Post has done some things, they have been extremely resistant. The Washington Times has been much more favorable. But there have been hundreds of hours of documentaries on all the cable programs that people are now familiar with, such as TLC and Discovery and History and A&E, plenty of documentaries. And they get better all the time, going into great detail. I mean, the best you can get on a nightly news program might be 60 seconds, but you turn on Discovery Channel, there are dozens of 1 hour and 1.5 hour documentaries covering the whole range of the subject, though not as much the politics, though some of that is starting now. So the media exposure, public awareness, has only gotten better, only higher, and the polls reflect this. The polls are consistently around 50%, yes, the ETs are here, 80 to 90%, the government's been lying about it all along. These are pretty powerful numbers. I mean, if you had those numbers in any other issue, there'd be some tectonic movements going on in Washington, D.C. So I'm not disappointed with the media coverage in general over the 6 years, given the total package of circumstances. Do we got to go further? Absolutely. In fact, I'll make it quite clear. The purpose of this book and all the promotion of this book, the purpose of the X conference and the promotion of that, is got one fundamental goal sitting just ahead of it, and that is cracking open the political talk show glass ceiling, right? So that you're on there. You're talking about exopolitics, you're talking about cover-up, you're talking about extraterrestrial phenomena, the government interaction, and nobody is daring to toss in some stupid, ridiculous remark about little green men or some other nonsense, because they know that, one, you know what you're talking about, and you're going to eat their lunch. And so they play it straight. They give you the respect that you deserve. That is, you can't imagine the milestone that it's going to represent. The day that someone is talking straight out on this phenomenon on a Ted Koppel Nightline, and Ted is taking the information and asking civil, respectful questions back. The day you hear that happen or see that happen, you know that there has been a sea change in Washington.
We're going to get into details of the conference and some of your plans here in a moment, but as we're talking about the media with Stephen Bassett, in this book that you have coming out, the book actually, when do you think a publication might actually happen on that book?
Typically, you can have a good 12 months if you want it from a publisher after the advance has been paid. But I don't want that. My goal is to publish it 6 months after the book deal is signed. I'd love to see the book deal signed within 30 days. And that means in 6 to 7 months, we could have it out in April. And that's my target.
The reason I ask that is because I can see this all coming together as a plan. If the book actually comes out about the same time as your conference does, and we'll get into some of these people you're planning on having at the conference in a moment, I can see a crescendo. You know, that's kind of what happens with the media in Washington. One guy starts following somebody else, and I have seen you break the glass ceiling, at least on some of the news shows, some of the 24-hour news channels. I've seen a couple interviews with you in which they treated you fairly you know, straight and reasonable.
Well, the campaign accomplished that. When I ran for Congress in 2002 as an independent, since I was not a Democrat or Republican, I was able to get on the ballot by a signature gathering, which we did, gathered 5,000 signatures. So we're on the ballot. I was actually in 4 debates. I was shut out of 26 debates, which is wrong, but I got in 4. I got in 2 of the biggest ones. And so I was up on a stage with Connie Morella and Chris Van Hollen, who eventually won, and I'm answering questions about extraterrestrials on stage. And they're not fleeing in terror. They're not throwing their hands up or, you know, and ducking their heads. They listened, right? And they were never confronted with a cross answer or response. They didn't really have to. That's all right. So in the process of that, I was interviewed twice on Fox News. I think this was the Shepard Smith afternoon show. They ran some graphic overlays. They had a little X-File music, but the questions were perfectly reasonable. There was no effort at all to belittle the subject. I've done CNN Radio again. You might say, well, look, if they're willing to go that far, why don't they go the rest of the way? Well, that is one of the great journalism stories of the last 100 years, if not the last 10,000 years. What ultimately was the reason that the top-end media, the highest-paid media, ultimately sat on the biggest news story of all time for least 5 decades, and certainly the last 2 decades. Why did they do it? I hope we find out someday.
Darn, I thought you had the answer there. I was ready to find it out right then, Steve.
Hey, if I had the answer, hey, look, as I said, I'm signing up for a series of books, and one of those books is going to be about, I'm going to take Terry Hansen's book, Missing Times, News Media Complicity and UFO Cover-Up, and I'm going to take it to the next level, and we might be able to get some first-hand interviews of the mainstream editors at these papers, of the top news anchors like Brokaw and Jennings, and literally get their responses as to why they would not go there. But, of course, this will be after we're there.
And they will be okay to come out and talk about it at that time, as far as they're concerned.
Goes, yeah, that's the way it works sometimes. But that's not good enough for me.
You want to get to the details? Well, I'd like to get to some of the details tonight. I was hoping you had a theory or something anyway. I mean, do you think somebody said, just don't talk about this, or do they use more of a subterfuge, a little skepticism and fun?
Two things. And I'm partially theorizing here, because Terry Hansen did a pretty good job with his book, Missing Times. There's two things that went on. One, a significant number of the media bought the government's misinformation campaign. They bought it. Okay? Hey, that's what propaganda is for. If it didn't work, they wouldn't still be around. And so they bought it and said, look, the government says there isn't anything, there isn't anything. Therefore, it's an editorial decision. We're not going to interview that guy. We're not going to run that story. We're not going to follow up on that investigation. However, I also believe, and here is where I'll either be right or wrong, and you can take me to task 1, 2, 3, 4 years from now, I believe that some of the top-end media at the highest level struck deals with the national security state where they agreed for whatever return that they would not cover the issue until they were told that it was okay to do so. And if I prove wrong about that, I will be more than happy to apologize to all the millionaire journalists currently working the front door of those operations. But if I'm right, then those same journalists ought to know. I'm coming to talk to them.
Well, I think you're probably correct as far as your last theory. Okay. Let's talk a little bit about this conference. I know it didn't germinate overnight. You put a lot of thought into it, and who you have planned. First of all, you're holding it equidistant from all the airports in Washington. At least that's what I read in your press report.
Here are the strengths of the conference in terms of the facilities. We have it's going to be at a 3-star, 3-diamond Hilton Hotel, Washington North. This is out in Gaithersburg. Unlimited free parking, metro access, conference facilities for up to 15,000 square feet, banquet facilities for 400. We virtually have the entire hotel. We've got up to 300 rooms and encourage people, they need to book those rooms as soon as possible. We get a special rate, cheap for Washington, probably not cheap for Laughlin, Nevada. So the facilities are absolutely top-notch. We already have committed 18 speakers with another 3 or 4 that'll sign up hopefully within the next 2 weeks. And to give people the sense of how powerful this lineup, let me just quickly read it. Again, with respect to the governmental, political, media aspects in connection to UFO phenomena by the government since 47. In addition to myself, we have Dr. William Burns, co-author with Philip Corso of The Day After Roswell, Grant Cameron, my co-author in the book U.S. Presidents and the Politics of Disclosure, Philip Corso Jr., the son of Philip Corso, who is carrying forward his legacy, has new materials, video, diaries. I mean, he's ready to start talking about some interesting things, and there's a lot of other people going to be talking about Phil Corso's legacy, new material people don't know about. So Phil Corso may be dead, but he's not going away. We have Paul Davids, the producer of, the director, rather, of Roswell, the movie. Richard Dolan, the author of UFOs in the National Security State, Stanton Freeman, the legendary researcher from Canada, Timmy D. Good, legendary researcher from the UK, Dr. Stephen Greer, powerful activist in this field for 7 years, Terry Hansen, Missing Times, Paola Harris out of Italy, Richard Hoagland, special presentation Sunday night. There are 4 Mars probes on the way to Mars right now, and they will have already been circling for about 2 months. Lord knows what we'll know at that point. Dr. C.B. Scott Jones, key leading figure in the Rockefeller Initiative to Clinton. Dr. Bruce McAbee on the FBI, Jim Mars, Nick Pope, Dr. Michael Sala, and we have more coming. That just gives you a sense of how powerful it is.
We are talking with Stephen Bassett, and we're talking about the upcoming X conference, and that'll be coming up, of course, April 14th through 16th. And that's in Washington, D.C., in the area. Actually, it's being held in, what, Maryland?
Well, it's out in Gaithersburg, but it's conveniently located. It happens to be equidistant from all three airports, metro access. The heart of the conference for now will be the main website, which is an easy one, xconference.com with a hyphen. So it's x-conference.com, where everything is there, including the ability to register for the conference. Hotel bookings are direct, but you have a booking code. It'll give you a special rate. And that special rate applies not simply to the three-day conference, but the hotel will give that rate for 5 days after and before the conference. So people coming in from England and Canada and elsewhere and the United States who want to see Washington in one of the absolute best months to see Washington, which is April, they can do an extended stay and save a lot of money and stay at a Hilton hotel.
Of course, we have a link to that on our website as well. But it's pretty easy to remember, X-conference, right?
.com.